Hi guys, this is Kate from Invasion of Privacy, and this Sunday is my hour-long album recording at New York Comedy Club. Please come. There's a 7 o'clock show and a 9:15. Promo code WOLF. You can get tickets on New York Comedy Club's website, www.newyorkcomedyclub.com. It would really, really mean the world to me to have you all there. I need to have both shows be electric, and it would mean a lot if all of my supporters and people who've been supporting me and loving me from the start, or my new supporters, if you guys could be there. So it's this Sunday. There's a 7 o'clock and a 9:15. On the 7, I have Nico White hosting and Robin Shaw will be featuring. And then on the 9:15, I have Amina Imani and Mike Cannon. So please, please come out to one of them. Once again, it would mean a lot to me and I would really, really like to have them pretty full and have you guys all there. And then I can hopefully give you all quick hugs after, especially after the 9:15, because after that, I'll be able to actually hug and talk a little bit more than on the 7. So anyway, please come 7 and the 9:15, newyorkcomedyclub.com, promo WOLF, and now enjoy this episode of Invasion of Privacy. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have one of my favorite people. He's never been on before. Nikki Paris is here.
What up? I am so excited to be here with you.
Hi, Nikki. We've been trying. Oh, I say we as if it's like me and my higher self. We've been trying to get you on.
The three of us have been trying to make this happen for so long.
Me, you, and the mermaid goddess have been trying. Well, first of all, Nikki's a comedian and much more. What else would you even call yourself?
I would say, you know, a disciple of Jesus, and you know, I'm a host, I'm an actor, I'm an entertainer, but I definitely am a comedian. That's my strongest suit, but I just love to entertain.
You are totally an entertainer. And yeah. I met Nikki, I guess it was about 7.5 years ago.
Yeah. I was like 17.
Oh my God. Were you 17?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's when I first started doing stand up.
I met Nikki at an open mic at the Lantern. Half a virgin. Do you remember that? Do you remember when I met you at the Lantern open mic? And I remember you had like one of your, I guess, high school, one of your girlfriends with you who was so supportive.
Bitches.
Yes, you did. You always had like a posse of hot chicks.
Yeah, I'm like Anna Nicole Smith. There's always someone that has to make sure I'm okay and follows me around. I always got my girls. I have a lazy Susan. I'm just like, right, who is it today? No, but they take care of me. I love them.
I just remember like you had a support system there with you and she was like wearing this like black lace. Like I was like, who is this? And you were just so sweet to me. Like I think you came up after the mic and you were just like, I'm Nikki. I loved your jokes. I was like, oh, hi. I loved you too. And just right away, it was a lot of positive love.
Yeah. No, I always thought you were great. And you were have always been like a big sister to me and you've been authentic. And that's very rare in entertainment to meet people who are authentic. So I appreciate you for always being a great friend.
And you've grown, we both have grown so much
in
the last 7.5 years. And once again, we're not going to get too deep into any of this, I promise. But one thing that I really love that's always stood out to me about you, Nikki, is that I know that you haven't had the easiest life. Not that anyone really has. We all have our struggles.
Yeah, we all have our own crust to bear.
But, you know, you've told me things, just some parts of your life that people wouldn't necessarily know about you because you're always so positive and making people laugh, and yet you've gone through a lot of stuff, and yet you just keep rising. And I know people on the podcast know how corny I am, but it's like rising like the phoenix where, you know, we all fall, but you rise with flames. Like, you really do.
I rise with flames, yeah. I am worse than the California wildfires that are happening right now. I'm a danger to everybody, and I try to, you know. But you're a performer. You know what it's like to have that energy. It's like, it's crazy. You can't, like, kind of turn it on. And as I'm getting older, you know, I would
he's hope, 25, everyone.
I would hope it would get
as he gets older, I'm going to kill him.
As, you know, as I thought I would get older, I thought it'd be easier to tone it down, but I'm only getting worse. I'm only becoming more outrageous. I'm sure I'm going to be arrested this time next year. It's really alarming.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. Finally, I'd get laid.
When's the last time you have had sex, or do you not want to talk about that?
I have had sex. I was seeing somebody recently, so within the last couple of months, I got plowed.
Okay. I like how you say that, but then a little bit of sadness comes in.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't have to get into sex too much, but my feelings on sex are different than most people's.
I would love to hear it. What's yours?
Well, first of all, as I say this, I want to say real quick as a disclaimer, whatever, that there's no judgment in this. anyone who wants to have casual sex, any kind of sex, do your thing. What I have found for me, and through research of listening to friends cry and complain over years and years, is that a lot of people want to act like sex is something you can do casually. Like, oh, I'm just going to go and fuck this person and I'm not going to think about it. Most people, because the act of sex happens not just on the physical universe, it's in the spiritual and emotional, and we get attached.
Unless you're a man.
No, see, that's not physical. True, Nikki.
Men are disgusting.
No. Nope,
men are pigs. You
sound like these women that are like, men are scum. No. That's okay. That's
you don't think that men are scum?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'm raising one of the most beautiful
sensitive beings.
Well, your son,
yes. I met your son. He is adorable.
But all men
are. When he's 18, I'd like him to call me.
Oh, okay, you're done right now.
Okay.
And that's not because you're gay. That's because no one's allowed to talk about Shane in a sexual manner, you sick fuck. Okay.
I meant take me to Applebee's.
No.
Okay,
you're not getting taken. Yeah, first of all, no to Applebee's for a whole other reason.
I love the Applebee's.
Okay, well, then you're allowed to go to Applebee's. But I love how we just got started. I think that men are just as sensitive as women and they get just as attached through sex. Our society, our collective has created... have created these beliefs. Yes, it's a facade to keep people feeling safe, even though it helps no one, because then men do get attached and then they feel less than for hurting emotionally over being attached to whether it's a man or a woman or animal, if that's your thing. You know what I mean?
It's not.
I know. I'm saying to anyone listening. No, please, everyone, don't.
To anyone
animals.
Listening, I've never touched a koala bear. I've thought about it. But no, I think that women have... a bad rep. I think that everyone's like, women are crazy. In my experience, I think from what I've seen, men are just as fucking crazy. However, they're able to shield it because of their ego, and men have to put on that facade. Mm-hmm. And then when you see who's really behind the curtain, you're like, wow, you're fucking nuts. Am I allowed to curse?
Oh my God,
oh,
absolutely.
Perfect. It's too late now, but perfect.
No, you can totally curse.
Yeah, men
curse.
Are nuts.
I think we're all crazy to a degree. I think what makes people crazier is when they try to have that facade of looking either happier than they are or more put together. Put together is pretty much the facade thing. It's because a facade, when I taught it in art, it's like the front of a building, how you present. And often how most people present, especially on social media, is not what's really going on inside. And the more authentic we can all be of sharing what's really going on, the more we can all set each other free. Like, oh, I don't have to be perfect because you're not perfect. No one's perfect.
Yeah.
And men are just as sensitive as women. I'm telling you,
No, I agree with you. I think
you're
a man.
Be
sensitive and nuts. Yes.
Yeah. But once again, we have to even not get rid of the word nuts because that's nuts. But like I shared this last week and I think you listened to a little bit where I went to the doctor and the nurse was like, hot mess. You're a hot mess. And I'm like, we're all hot messes. Like, what are we talking about?
Right.
But by saying that, it's almost hurting ourselves, because then when we have those moments of like despair, weakness, going crazy, we feel such shame. Like, what's wrong with me? Instead of being like, oh, I had that moment that is completely human.
So would you say you're very in touch with yourself? Are you like, how much? I just have to know. So do you like, I could just picture you like your pen pal is you. That you're just sitting there writing letters. Like you're your own pen pal. You put it in the mail. Like, are you really that in touch with yourself?
Nikki, I can't with you. Your pen pal is you is the funniest
is thing. I'm just picturing you putting the letter in the mailbox, going back. And I admire you for it. I admire that you're so in touch with who you are.
Well,
I love it. I'm proud of you.
Let's look. I've done a lot of work on myself and I've been through a lot. I've been, you know, after my divorce, I was literally in the hospital for 3 days because I broke down. And I think when you hit such rock bottom moments and you keep getting up, you know what I mean? Because when I got divorced, it wasn't just the divorce. It was this image of the thing that was going to make me happy and fix me. When it crashed, it was like I didn't even know at that point what to live for. And that, so that's how low that was. And then you just rise from it. So I've had a lot of those bottoming outs. And I think when you just keep getting out of those, you just start to learn so much about yourself. And now I'm in this program that's unwinding me, and it's really allowing me to see deeply my issues, my messiness.
Yeah.
And it's not, I think when I first started the school, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to be floating on like a lotus leaf, you know? And I'm like, oh no, that's not what spiritual healing's about. It's actually about getting in touch with, oh my God, I obsess all the time. I escape to fantasy. I blame, you know, you start seeing, but you don't want to beat yourself up for it. You're like, oh, wow, look at my humanness. Look at what I've done to survive as a child to not go crazy. So, yeah, I definitely know myself well, but it's through years of getting out of really dark places. And then also the work I do is about being able to hold space to look at these ugly, dark parts without thinking I'm a piece of shit. Although there are days where I do feel like, oh my God, I'm a loser. What's wrong with me? And I have to really work through to get back to a place of self-love.
I always say things could always be worse. You could be ugly. That's one of my favorite things. I say it every day.
Nikki.
I have my hand mirror, and then suddenly the world's not as bad as I thought it was.
Is that really your motto when you're
low? That's what I tell people. I tell people all the time.
See, mine is like, at least you have running water.
No, that is what I tell people, and it really helps people. I think I'm like Oprah with a dick, and I think that I've really, you know, I tell people, it could be worse. You could be ugly. You know what I mean? It could be, you could have a jagged tooth. Smile.
Well, I have a slight jagged tooth that I'm attached to, but I'm going to go with my running water. That's what I try to teach Shane is when we get too comfortable and forget to be grateful. I'm like, there are literally kids and women and men who are like walking miles just to have not even clean water, you know, because it's the human condition, but we immediately take for granted.
I know.
It's human condition.
I'm sorry if you're from Kenya and you're listening.
Can you imagine?
I hope you get water.
My huge Kenyan audience.
Yes.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. Hey, maybe you'll find a lover, a Mandingo guy, if you know what I mean.
Well, we'll see.
I'm already
attached to a certain person.
Oh,
but
are
let's
you?
I won't get into yours. You won't get into mine.
Fine.
How about that?
Fair.
Yeah. We'll make a pact. If you want to get into mine, we'll get into yours.
Pinky promise.
Yeah. You're like, no. Nope.
Confirm it. Write a letter to yourself.
Yeah.
Confirm it.
I'll pen pal it to me. I actually have started writing notes to myself. So you know what, Nikki? You are tapping into something that I didn't even. What I've been doing lately when I have something, whether it's angry, sad, loving, that I want to get out, I go on my iPhone to the notes and I write it as if I'm writing it to the person. And it just helps to, because otherwise I just am biting down and keeping it all in. But I often don't want to actually send it.
Right.
So I have been, I guess, pen paling myself.
Now, do you do one of those things like when you're mad at somebody, you'll like write it out but not send it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, because I'm that person that writes it all out and then I'll send it.
Do you?
I love to start trouble. So I
or
just
like, express
I'm from
yourself.
I am from Staten Island. I love drama. I'm only human. So that's one thing I'm trying to work on is, but you know what? I think that I may be a little intense, but I think it's more admirable to let you know how I feel. Than to not, I don't play the whole bullshit game that everybody else plays. And I think that, you know, it may be intense. You always know where you stand with me.
Yeah.
Always. You know what I mean? I don't play that whole, oh, you know, I love you so much. I'm behind your back. I'm like, what a fat cunt. I don't do that.
You'll say it right to their face.
I wouldn't even say, but you know what I mean? It's, you know, I want to be real. And that's what I think that's missing in this whole world of like social media. There's all, everybody's pretending to be somebody they're not. And for better or worse, I'm showing you who I really am.
Yeah.
And I'm being authentic. You know what I mean? I don't play the whole bullshit thing. I really don't. If you go follow me on any social media platform, I will always let you know how I feel.
Well, that's one of the many beautiful things about you. And you and I are similar in that way about how expressive we are. But something that I've been learning to dance with, which is why
literally,
most of the time.
Literally dance with?
Well, I have been dancing.
Okay.
But is that I don't always have to send it. Because there's a balance between making sure you're expressed and not becoming one of those emotionally constipated, everything's fine people. But then also, I used to hide under, well, I just need to express myself. So here's my rage in 3 pages. Because I also don't want to be overbearing in a way that's like out of relationship. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's a beautiful dance that I'm not saying I've nailed it, but I'm actively, consciously working on how can I be who I am, express who I am, but also not be the person that's sending 3 emails a day that's stuck or vibrating at like blame. Because when the moment we think that our pain is another person's fault or a situation's fault, you want to look at that. I'm not saying that there aren't certain situations or people that exacerbate that, of course. But if you're constantly blaming one thing to the next, something's going on.
What's the common denominator?
Exactly. But it's hard.
The other person.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
It's hard because even being as aware as I am, I still am like, really? Okay, it's not that person's fault. Well, fuck. Okay, fuck, you know?
Yeah.
What's really going on with me?
Takes 2 to tango.
Yeah,
You're a dancer. You know that now.
Oh, well, thank you for calling me a dancer. I don't, yeah. Yeah, my mom's a professional dancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a dancer?
She was a swing dance instructor for my whole childhood and growing up. She's stopped now because her knees bother her, but I'm trying to get her to start again.
Oh my God, that would be great.
I want her to teach me all of her.
Yeah.
She used to teach me, but we
had why you were trying to tell me that your mom is a stripper. I was like, well, you really have been through so much. If you need whatever you need, like I write yourself a letter and say, don't stay off the pole. But no, that's great that your mother was your mother is probably in something so beautiful, like Thoroughly Modern Millie, like something so renowned.
She was in like those big skirts that have like poodles
on
them.
I'm sorry.
But to anyone who's a stripper whose mom was, namaste, you know, do your thing.
Yeah, I know a few strippers. You'll have a nicer apartment than I'll ever live in, that's for sure.
I could see you having lots of stripper friends, actually, just fabulous women walking with you everywhere.
You know what? I have a lot of, you know, I have some friends that are strippers and are in like the adult industry, and I respect, because you know what it is? I look at it as performance, but I get very uncomfortable in strip clubs. I've been to a lot of like high profile strip clubs in like the last year just for like different events and stuff. And I just look at these girls and I say, go to college. You know what I mean? Get an education. I just don't like that whole thing. If you see me in a strip club, I see all these girls, I don't know where to look. Mm. I said, Helen Keller doesn't have it that bad. I like wish I was blind and deaf. I'm like in the corner. I'm like, oh my God, can I get a ginger ale somewhere? Like, I'm so scared.
It's so interesting. Well, first of all, Nikki is openly gay.
Yeah.
So we should.
I just
say
needed
that
a few
too.
Minutes of material. So.
Well, I just wanted to say that. Not that. Well, no, it does matter because a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about, it should be in the context of it. But yeah. So that's one thing is maybe why. Awesome. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because I'm not comfortable, though, in any kind of strip club because I think it's meant for objectifying and dehumanizing the person. And that's what immediately makes me uncomfortable is like, despite sexual orientation, which probably is the main issue for you.
It's not even, you know, I'm very hard on people. And I it's true. Like, I don't understand why a group of guys are going to go to a strip club, you know, spend money, get a boner, and then go to Denny's. Like, why is that? Like, and then you're just gonna sit at the booth after. Like, I don't understand. Like, what's so? I don't get it.
Get a boner and then go to Denny's.
I don't get it. I really don't understand it. And I was on a podcast.
They probably jerk off in the bathroom at the strip club if they don't pay for a lap dance.
If you go to like a place under the bridge, I've been to that one too. I've been to some of the not by myself.
Where are these under the bridge places? What are you talking about?
In Jersey, we're in Jersey. I don't live in Jersey, so.
Oh look, I like how he says that. He's like, I'm not gross enough.
No. I love Jersey. I'm from Staten Island, so please, you know what I mean.
I like Staten Island.
Me too. It's you know, it's
these things get like such bad raps, and it's like New Jersey has some of the most beautiful wooded areas.
Yes,
Staten Island's like right on the water. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful,
the water's
people
green.
People and homes.
Yeah, Staten Island has a huge heroin problem. And one time somebody
asked, really?
Like, yeah, huge. And people are like, oh my God, do you do heroin? I was like, you think I'm skinny enough to do heroin? Like, that is so flattering. But yeah, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, the girls in the strip club. I was on a podcast. It was called The Week in Sex. So
I've been on that.
Oh, yes,
Alan
you have.
Fox.
That's right. And I'm
were
not
we
a
on
sexual.
It were we on
were.
It together?
I'm pretty
yes.
sure. So I did the celebrity stuff. I'm not like a really big person into sex. Like I come from a very Catholic Italian family where, you know, everything is suppressed. So we didn't talk about sex. But these girls came on and they had to paint with their boobs. And I got in trouble because I told the girls, I said, why are you doing this? I said, go get an education. I said, is this really what you want from your life, to sit here on a Sunday afternoon at the Museum of Sex and paint with your boobs?
They must wanted to kill you because that's so judgmental though.
It was judgmental, but I think I helped them. And maybe that's just my ego. I felt like I touched them that day, and Alan was like, you can't say that to them. I was like, sorry, the truth hurts.
Well, it's such a tricky thing, right? It's like, because you know, every path here on earth, there's no right or wrong. It's whatever is right or wrong for the person, even if someone wants to do heroin or whatever. But at the same time, you can still see a person maybe in pain and say something motivating to them.
My biggest issue that I've come into terms with this year is I have a hard time accepting people for who they are.
Oh wow!
And I try to change people because I want you to be better than what I see. And I see what goes on and I'm saying, what are you doing?
Do you see that though as a reflection of your own toughness on yourself?
Yes, I'm tough on myself and I'm also tough on other people. But because I think you could be better than what you're doing. And I see a lot of what goes on and
I think that, what do you want? Somebody that's going to tell you, are you doing everything great and bullshit you? No, you should have somebody in your life that's going to tell you the truth.
You know, this sounds like your father or mother or something. Someone talk to you like this, because you sound like a really strict teacher. And once again, it's reflective of probably just how tough you are on yourself, which on one hand has gotten you so far because you are a killer. But on the other hand, we were talking about this before. We won't go as deep. But like, it's probably just reflective of how hard you are on you. And a lot of us believe that if we loosen up on ourselves, we'll like fall apart at the seams. Do you know what I mean? So that's probably.
Yeah, no, I'm very hard on myself. But I also think that I have a reason to be.
What's the reason?
I think that, you know, just look, I've been doing stand-up for 7 years. You know, I've had some great accolades, which I'm so proud of. Am I where I want to be at this point in time? No. Because I didn't, you know, I look, she's getting so mad. She thinks I'm so hard on myself. But
you
I am
are.
Hard on myself. But
you
that's
are.
My drive. That's why I am able
I
to
disagree.
Pull these, you know.
I think it's linked, but I think you can have drive and still have not that you don't have self-love, because I get you're like, trust me, I love myself. But like, you love yourself, but you have so much self-hate that comes out. And I think that there's a way to loosen it up and still have that drive. And that, I mean, you are one of the most passionate people I've ever met, Nikki. That's not going anywhere, sweetie.
Yeah, I'm very passionate.
You are a performer. You are love. You are energy.
All right,
it's
but
not
here's
going.
My thing, right? I look at certain things. I'm like, part of me is I'm proud, because you know what? I never had anybody push me to do what I want to do.
Really?
Nobody. This is all me. For 7 years, I started, you know, I work in publicity. I went to college. I set up my class schedule so I could perform. You know, I know what I'm
capable
of.
What did you go to college for?
Public relations. And
wow.
I was lucky to get a job the week before I graduated.
Of course
so
you did.
So I work with different celebrities and entertainment. So I'm like Hannah Montana, really, because I live this double life where I'm behind the scenes, then, you know, and then I get to be on stage and be the talent myself. So that's really cool. And it's helped me. I'm very emotional, as you've gathered.
Just like me.
What I'm starting to learn as I'm growing up, and you know, I've really grown up a lot in this last year, it's a mean world and people don't do the right thing.
Nikki.
No, but it's true. You can't expect people to. I was raised to do the right thing. I always do the right thing. I don't have it in me to stab somebody in the back or do anything like that. But that's how people are. And
that's how some people are. Because they've been taught that's how you survive.
Right.
And when I say, Nikki, look, I'm not just here for human rights in general. I'm animal rights and environmental rights. I see the ugly in the world. I see how people even treat people who beat animals.
I understand. I believe that the gate to heaven is through your ass crack. I think that you are such a wonderful person. I have no doubts at all.
I don't even know what that means.
I
it's through your
it's
ass
it's
crack.
Such a compliment. No, but if you look,
that's probably the nicest thing anyone's said to me in like years.
I want you to write
that.
Cry.
I was like,
in
that
a letter,
is poetry.
Write
Thank
in a
you.
Letter and send it to yourself. Yeah. You're welcome.
That'll be the next note to myself on my eye. You literally made me cry.
From yeah. Thank you.
Because I was like, I don't even know what that means. And then I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. I just think you have all the answers, like Jesus.
I definitely don't have all the answers. But what I do know is that, yes, there's lots of cruelty in the world. But something that I've been working on is I used to think the whole world was out to get me. And the moment I started slowly switching that belief and taking in support and seeing the kindness in people and even the ones that are hurt and lashing out. And it's not easy, because I still often think the world's out to get me. And then
me
I'm like,
me too. I like to think that's kind of flattering. I think it's my ego.
It's very narcissistic, right? We're like, they're all out to get me. And the person's like, I'm trying to buy an oranges, yeah. Bitch. Move
Can
over.
I go to the mall? Like, please.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a belief system. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of ugly or bullying or any of that. But at the same time, it's still a belief that, you know, can, when you switch it into a place where you're like, I can be support. Because I get it. I'm sure you've had a lot of people out against you, but you probably have just as many people that adore you. Like you are, you have to look at pictures of this man. He is just, to me, he looks like an angel. Like you really are just a beautiful being. He glows. And
I'm pregnant. That's why.
Through the ass crack.
Yes.
And you're,
I only
you're
be so lucky.
You're pregnant with a spiritual alien baby or something. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I feel like, There are just as many people for you. And
no, absolutely. For you. Of course. But I'm a comedian. I can only focus on the negative.
That's not true either.
No, that's me. I love to complain. I could find
something. Complaining is my favorite pastime.
All right, what's your favorite thing to complain about?
Food. I have a thing where I go to restaurants. No matter what I do, there's hair in the food.
Are you serious?
It's the strange. You're like, only me.
You're like vibrationally pulling it to you because you're so annoyed by
it. I love Mexican food. Mexican people, not so much. No, but I.
Nikki, no.
I'm just kidding. MAGA. No, I'm totally kidding. So I ordered a quesadilla meal. I went to go get. Open the queso, it literally looked like a L'Oreal commercial in the queso. I was like, it was a long black hair.
Gag.
I said, is this queso a donation to Locks of Love? Like, who the act? So that was one time. Fine. Another time, I love Annie Ann's pretzels. I would love to meet Anne. I think she does a great job. And I got a dipping sauce on the side. Keep in mind, the dipping sauce is made in a factory. Made in a factory. I opened the lid that was made in a factory, and there was a bowl of hair. You can't tell me that there's not a black cloud
that
follows me.
Like, I have a gag reflex, and you're actually bringing
it
on.
Oh, trust me. Try living it. I said, Anne, you bitch. After all these years,
you're pulling this to you. It's like the universe is playing little hair tricks on you.
100%.
So one of your complaints, which is actually sounds
valid.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I'm not happy when. But let me tell you, all the hairs I find are probably my own.
Okay. Mine aren't. Well, my favorite is one time. Here's a third story out of 2000.
Oh my God, Nikki, I'm already like about to throw up.
Okay, I'm sorry. Last one. Ready? So I'm at my favorite Italian restaurant. I'm going to throw them under the bus. It is called. Oh my God, why can't I remember? It's on Highland Boulevard
because
in
Staten
Island.
You're not supposed to remember. Don't throw them under the bus.
No.
The hair's only come up for you.
Oh my God, I have to call my best friend. Me and my best friend are at this Italian restaurant. We're compulsive eaters. I love dining out. I love being catered to. So we went to this restaurant a lot. One of our favorite places. I order a salad. There it is, of course, a long black hair in the salad. And I said, Anastasia. I said, look down. I said, there's a black hair. So the manager comes over. I'm so sorry. She goes, that's so weird. Nobody in the kitchen has black hair. I said, where was my fucking salad? Who made it? Was it made in the bathroom? Like, where did this black hair? Like, that's so not what I wanted to hear.
Wasn't the Annie Ann sauce a black hair? It sounds like there's something with, like, black hairs that are following you.
It's all colors, unfortunately.
Really?
I only told the black hair stories. But yes, there's been, yeah, of course.
This is fascinating.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so upset, and I won't stop eating out. I don't like home-cooked meals. I skeeve everybody's kitchens. I just come from that Italian. When somebody's like, I cooked. I'm like, what does the kitchen look like? I feel like if you eat at a restaurant.
You are such a diva.
I am spoiled a little bit. I'm not going to lie, but I work. I don't eat
ramen
noodles.
Spoiled, unspoiled person.
Right. I have to work very hard to, you know, get what I want, but I don't eat ramen noodles. And, you know.
Would you eat one of those ramen bowls that are really good?
Like, I'm not big on Asian food. It's okay.
Okay.
My anything that's going to clog my arteries and kill me before 40, that's my favorite thing to eat.
What's your favorite dish?
Okay. Oh my God. I love Chili's. And I love Applebee's. I'm such a cheap date. But yeah, I was a brand ambassador for Taco Bell for a little bit.
I remember that.
Yeah.
So Nikki has a very popular Twitter account. And you were tweeting like hilarious things about Taco Bell and your love for Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And you guys started going back and forth on like a love fest.
Mm-hmm.
And
they invited me. I went to their VMA pre-party. I got to try their breakfast.
I remember this.
A week early. And I was a vegetarian at the time. I'm not anymore. And they served me like a sausage. And I was like, they were like the heads of the company. There I was, 20 years old, like a baby, like 9 o'clock in the morning in a studded jean vest looking so stupid. And I was like, good morning, everyone. You know me, just trying to dazzle and, you know, do my usual load of bullshit. So they gave me a sausage burrito. And I was like, I just have to eat it. Because I'm not going to tell the heads of, you know, people at sea of Taco Bell. So I stuffed the whole thing in my mouth.
You said yes to the devil. Oh, no. And then was that the end?
I swallowed it and then I cried in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? I got a picture at the Taco Bell breakfast. It was worth it.
Are you still a Taco Bell ambassador?
I had it on the way here because I try not to eat it because I'm really into CrossFit and like weightlifting and, you know. But it's so hard when you're on the go. So what I'll do is like I work all day.
You can do Taco Bell in a healthy way, I believe.
I prefer not to. But
because Shane loves Taco Bell, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're vegetarians. So
yes,
he'll get
that.
The beans instead of beef. And you can get it without sour cream if you want or whatever. But especially because we're tight on money. They have
great
vegetarian
options. Oh, it's great.
Options.
Yeah.
So I'm not judging you there.
No, perfect. No, you know, I just like eating. I love Wendy's. Now that I eat meat again, I'm all about the meat. I know you're vegetarian. I gave it up for so long. I went, oh my God. Buffalo wings. I love, I'm all about the meat. I can't believe it. I love steak. Like, I never thought I'd be this person.
I haven't had recently someone who eats meat just look at me dead in the eyes. And you're not doing it to taunt me. It's like, it's just so funny. You're like, I love meat and steak. And I'm like, okay.
No, right. I have to tell, because I did it. I was vegetarian for like 7 years. It was a long time. And Applebee's.
That's young to
I
have become to tell a vegetarian.
You, Applebee's, Buffalo Wings, they do it right. They really
do. Well, let me
do.
Ask you, why did you become a vegetarian? At what, 18?
I saw a video about, it wasn't even, I'm so vain. It wasn't even about the animals. Obviously, I feel bad for them, but I have my own problems. So sorry, birds and chickens and pigs. But I just wanted to have a really hot body and not work that hard, which completely didn't work because all I was eating was carbs and, you know, I'm surprised I didn't trip a heart attack yet. But, you know, I started to weightlift and I was, you know, I'm working really hard on my fitness right now. I'm just trying to catch a dick in the wind. And I was like, I'm wasting my time. I have to.
He doesn't mean it. He weeps after sex, just like me.
Do you cry after sex?
Yeah.
I don't cry
after sex.
I haven't had sex
in over a
year. I don't really like having sex. I mean, I have to be with the right person.
Really?
I find most people very disgusting. I do. Like, I'm very critical. Like, you could have one skin tag on your arm.
What about people you're in love with? Then is it?
The people I'm in love with, I can never have. Isn't that fucked up?
Man, I really wish I could give you weekly healings, Nikki. I really...
No, but you know what? That's what makes me a comic. That's what makes me an artist.
I get it. I'm not saying I'm killing it in my love life.
Everybody that would never want me. I want the love, you know... Your husband, my parents, everybody that'll never love me. That's what I want. It's fucked up, but that's what makes me...
It's not fucked up. It's so normal, actually. It's, once again, reflective of probably you rejecting parts of yourself and then it showing up in the external.
I have to tell you, I'm so much fun. You want to have a great night?
I know you are.
Meet me at the Cheesecake Factory. You will piss your pants.
The Cheesecake Factory.
I love the Cheesecake Factory.
It's a pretty great
restaurant.
Kate,
the chicken buffalo blast. Oh my, it's incredible. It really is. If you're listening, the Cheesecake Factory, I would love a gift card.
Just like, no, I'm veg, and just, and it's not even offending me because it's like you're doing it out of pure love for me.
I am so happy. Seriously,
I'm glad you're enjoying your meals.
I had a great steak, but the one thing I don't like now is fatty
Although
steak.
Although I'm very, very, for me, like factory farming is just a horror that
we
almost can't comprehend. So like, it is a horror to me, but
course.
For some reason,
no, it's.
You're talking about it. It's like you get such joy. It's hard for me to like, I'm not going to shame you for it, you know?
It is so good.
But at the same time, I really wish you were eating at least meat that was like free range organic.
Yes. I'm sure episode is my body. But you know, I have the buffalo wings. Oh my God. It's so good. Like I have to tell you, my favorite thing of all, a turkey sandwich. I used to have dreams when I was vegetarian that I would eat a turkey sandwich. I said, no, don't do it. I would wake up and be like, oh my God, I had a dream that I ate a turkey sandwich again.
What kind of turkey?
Well,
like,
not,
was it
I don't like Thanksgiving. I'm not thankful.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was like that.
No, I'm not. I hate Thanksgiving. But I've never like craved a roast turkey. You know what I mean? But like cold cut turkey on like a bit or in a wrap. Oh my, Kate, I might have to leave like right now and go.
Did you eat yet after the gym? After
I did. I ate here.
Oh,
I was eating while driving. I almost killed three people on the way here. But
oh, I'm glad you didn't.
No, yeah.
I also need to say, like, so right now Nikki is wearing such a fashionable, cute outfit as well. So he's wearing these like bright red, almost like a hint of fiery orange in his, what are those, Adidas?
Yeah.
In his Adidas shoes, he's got these beautiful jeans on that have like the perfect rips and like the ribbing on the knees. And then he's got this black t-shirt with like perfectly placed holes. And then you came in with what kind of jacket would you call that?
This is actually...
Is that a bomber jacket?
Yeah. Do you know Diplo, the DJ?
I love
so
Diplo,
so he's one of my clients at work. So
are you
is
serious?
Actually, yeah, I work with his label, Mad Decent. So this is...
Oh, my
they
God.
They sent me this for Christmas last year.
It's a beautiful... Yeah, it's
Thank
a beautiful
you,
jacket.
Thank you, listening.
One day, Diplo is going to have to make some beats for me now that I'm a rapper.
Yes.
So now I know who to get in touch with
for
Diplo.
I want
to
hear you like... I could like imitate rap. I can't freestyle.
I'll play... After this, I'll play you Labia Game.
Okay.
We're in the middle of making the video.
Okay.
We did the first day. Had a slight panic attack, went to the ER, you know, had to cut filming short, but we're going to be finishing it next
You're
week.
You're a true artist.
What can I say?
Yeah, I know. It's part of the game.
Yes.
I think
push
that
ourselves.
Happens to Lady Gaga.
Oh, well, did you watch her documentary?
I did. What did you think?
Well, when I was
Too
seeing her really struggle, not for me, it but I felt for her. I was like, wow, this woman really is in pain a lot. I forget what she's diagnosed with.
I know.
With.
I was like, is she ever not crying? I say that as a fan.
I say that as a fan.
I want to see her as glamorous. I don't want to see you looking like the barback.
You don't want to see her as the human she is, Nikki?
I admire her as a human, but the whole time I wanted, first of all, the weed smoking at your grandma's
senior home. I will definitely smoke weed at my grandfather's.
No, I'm very big on smoking weed. I love smoking
weed. Do you smoke?
I do, and if you ever smoked me, I become an alien. I'm one of those people that does not function, and I become literally, I hate to say the R word, retarded. That is the best word to describe me. I can't talk. You
really?
Should see me at the mall.
Are you just in your head? Like, what's going
on?
Yeah,
for the most part.
So Lady Gaga, you and I both love her. I went to see her Monster Ball by myself, and I was just like,
oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
I went to go see that one too. I fought her for a little while, but she definitely, I'm very.
What do you mean you fought her?
I didn't want to embrace her, because I'm a huge Britney Spears fan.
Me too.
So I had to protect Brit. Okay, I had to protect Brit.
What do you love so much about Britney? I love Britney.
I think that she embodies something different for every person. She's such like a Rubik's Cube of
goodness.
Of goodness and talent and just a truly beautiful creature is what I think. And somebody who's managed to stay. Nothing drives me crazy when people say Britney Spears has no talent. You know what I mean? She is able
to
reinvent
to her
herself.
Yeah, she is. She's getting ready. You can feel it.
She, you know, and she doesn't want to be out there anymore like she used to. And how could you blame her after what it did to her?
Well, I'm excited we're getting into the Britney thing. I was recently going, like I now joined iTunes Music where you could just kind of search, and I went on her greatest hits, whatever.
And
I'm really
so
listening. Oh, so many. Yeah. And I was really listening to her lyrics on a deeper level. And I'm like, she's brilliant. She's saying things we're not even fully taking in the messages that she's saying to us, including the fact that she's like, you're all obsessed with me. I'm embracing my sexuality. But even that's huge in the sense of she's like, I'm going to be whoever the fuck I want to be. You're all talking about me. Even if it's hating on me, who are you talking about? And I just really, I don't know, like I really actually started taking in her messages and appreciating her on a deeper level. And yes, I had a podcast called Britney Spears and Me Too, where of course she had to go into hiding because everyone was calling her crazy for just having a moment where she exploded because she had so much stress and pressure on her. And I also, as much as I love Justin Timberlake, I do not like the way he kind of outed her when they broke up. And he really did, because she had every
typical
right.
Typical man.
Men are not scum, Nikki. But, you know, breakups can get ugly, but, you know, people really sided with him because she was the cheater. And I get it. I know what it's like to be cheated on and want to blame that side. But what he did was not right. And it really, I think, was the start of taking her down and almost like bad mouthing her. There's a different word for it. Defaming her or whatever it would be. And I don't like it. I know I'm years late, but I'm like, we got to.
And there was a lot of stuff that, you know, I don't know if you've read Britney Inside the Dream, but
no,
it's
fascinating.
No,
please tell me. I want to hear.
You know, she had let people into her lives that were drugging her.
Are you serious?
Advantage of her, yeah.
What do you mean?
Remember when she was dating the paparazzi guy? She let these two guys into her life, and they were controlling. They were drugging her food, allegedly. If anybody's
allegedly.
Listening, Nancy Grace, and and they were drugging her, and they were tipping off the paparazzi everywhere she went. They had all deals under the table, so that's why she went out. Mm. There was like 50 cars because they all knew where she was going because they were leaking it.
So people were really exploiting her, you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, of course. And using her. She wrote in the book, she wrote a letter that she went to a party, and it was like a huge ball, and she found out she paid for the whole thing after she left, and they were using. How sad is that? So, you know, it's a very tough business, and I tell people, even, you know, I tell people all the time, unless you have the dying passion to do this, don't put yourself through it. That's what I tell people all the time. That's my one thing.
Well,
I
don't even think you can unless you have not just the dying passion, but I almost think if your soul's not aligned with whatever this thing is,
you want to be a performer, you want to sing and dance or tell jokes or do this or do that, do it. But to do this professionally, you have to be fucked up. Nobody normal
That's
wants
not
to do
true.
This.
Well, we're all fucked up. Yeah. We're all, trust me, I was a teacher for 8 years, and there are tons of people in any profession that are quote unquote, once again, we're all fucked up. But I get what you're saying in the sense of, for me, in the 7.5 years of doing comedy, you really have to be able to get through some pretty harsh nights of bombing or thinking a project's about to go somewhere and then finding out it's not, and really continuing to just keep getting up on stage and exposing yourself, essentially. But that sounds it in the negative way, but allowing your art and vulnerability to come through, even if the day before it didn't work out so well.
And you know what? There's the artistic part, which is so important. And then there's the business. The artistic part's the fantasy. And it's so important to artistically be there. The business is what you have to really be good at. And that's why most people, they work so hard. I see it all the time. I work in entertainment on both sides.
We're going to have a bit of a different take on this.
Okay. I think that you could be the most talented person in the world. Only certain people get through. And it's having that X factor, that je ne sais quoi that nobody quit their finger on. And it's also doing the work. And you have to effectively be able to separate yourself from the artist to being a product.
Yes and no is my belief. I'm not saying
no, it's okay.
This is the product thing, yes and no, in a whole, because you don't want to overly objectify yourself to the point where you're like,
you don't want to, but do you have to?
No.
I think yes.
I think the people who do that are the ones who end up becoming a shell of themselves. And I don't want to mention names. I want to, but there are some celebrities that you can tell they've become a shell. You always have to be in touch with your soul and your humanness. And the other thing I wanted to say about the business side, I would almost call it professionalism, which is probably in the arena you're talking about. There are some people who have the X factor, the it factor, whatever you want to call it, but can't get to places on time. They don't know how to be kind to people. They don't know, you know, I've been, other than comedy, I had to survive in teaching for 8 years. You have to know how to be respectful, on time, a kind person, I think, but not kind where you get walked on. You have to be able to have and hold boundaries. So,
hey,
hi, Nikki and I had to stop it because stuff got a little heated.
A little heated.
Because we disagreed.
But it was like a brotherly and sisterly.
It was pretty heated.
It was heated.
But
I love you.
The beautiful thing is we love each other. And hold on, let me put these on real quick. What I was saying to Nikki when we stopped is, like, you have people all over the world, whether it's over race, politics, vegetarians, not vegetarians, right, that disagree. And we need to figure out how we can both hold our realities and still connect. Because if I had said, no, I'm right, and you're like, no, I'm right, and then we never talk to each other again, I mean, that would be fine if we needed space, but like...
I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay. I'm going to be here Christmas morning. I don't know if you celebrate Kwanzaa, Easter. I will be here in a pink bonnet.
Let's just put it this way and we'll move on to another topic. Nikki and I disagree,
yeah,
on how to navigate the business side of entertainment. Right. And somehow we're both probably right in our own ways.
In our own way. And I respect your view on it. And I think you respect my view on it.
I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to work on it.
She's going to work on it.
Because I don't want to be judgmental either. And,
right,
you know, it's interesting because we've both been in this business for about 7 years.
Yeah.
In different ways. Because you are in PR. So you have
I've been doing
stand-up
for 7 years.
Yeah, stand-up. But I'm saying, but you also have another side of it that you've seen, that you're including, mm-hmm, that I haven't seen in the PR side.
Right.
So you're bringing in that. So I think honestly what it shows, which I preach all the time, is it's your own individual journey and only you know. So you know the way you need to do it, which is right now the machine thing in a sense. Kind of, right?
I don't want to get into it again, but my advice to it is hone your craft. Work on your talent and be smart at business. That's my only advice. And, you know, I admire so much that you want to help people and that you're healing people. And I think that's a beautiful thing that you're doing. I really do. And I think that people should be, you know, true to themselves. But, you know.
But no one can tell you. I guess my point of that is I can't tell you.
Nobody knows anybody else's stuff. Right. Nobody could ever.
And
it's
you
our
can't
own
tell
journey.
Me. It's, yeah.
Right.
So
we
whatever
all have to go
you're
to bed
doing.
With ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
And once again, you only can know how you're supposed to navigate this.
Exactly.
Well, not just entertainment, but your life for you. And it's so funny because when people go even through breakups, we all want to get advice to a certain extent because we want to feel better. But most of the time, other people's advice
is worse.
Well, yeah, because they're like, oh, how long did you date? Well, times that by two divided by this. That's how long it takes to get over them. And it's like, the truth is only you know how
all
long...
I want is you to come over with chocolate and just be like, hold me while I cry.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so what topic should we get into?
I don't know. What I mean, what can
the
we
only
talk
thing
about?
We've like fully agreed on is how much we love Britney.
We love Britney. Yes.
We love Britney. But it's funny because Nikki and I have been friends for years, but I think this is our first
tiff
hangout. No, like hangout. We've never hung. We've hung like at Elite Daily shoots. Like I read your tarot for 10 minutes on the side.
Right. Yes, you did.
But we've never hung. And this is what happens when two tornadoes try to grab Ting.
We're two passionate people with big hearts that feel very strongly about things. And, you know, it's good to have passion.
Yeah. All right. So you pick the topic, Nikki.
All right. Let's see. What can we talk about?
We're going to end up fighting about ice cream flavors. Like,
oh, my God. I like pistachio. What do you like?
God, what ice cream flavors do I like? You know what? I don't know. Lately, this is going to sound so corny, but like lately, vanilla with like nuts in it, caramel, like sundae style.
Now, what is your typical meal? I know you're a vegetarian, so like what, so you're obviously into cooking. I'm not a good cook. I wish I knew how to cook. I know how to make
pasta sides. I'm not into cooking too much.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, what do you like to cook?
Pasta sides by Lipton.
Is that real? Are you making a joke?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I am serious. Because
that would be a shit name.
I don't eat it all the time, but...
That's not a real name, pasta sides.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Yes. Oh, it's like pasta sides.
Yeah.
I thought you were making a joke like pesticides.
No. It's by Lipton, and they're actually kind of good. I mean, it's not organic or it's not green, but it's tasty.
Got it.
I
just love us trying to find topics. This is hilarious.
Let's see. Applebee's has veggie burgers. So
do they?
Yes, they do. They used to have the black bean burgers, and they got rid of them. And I love a black bean. But when I wasn't eating meat, the black bean, I just love Mexican food.
All right, I'm going to ask you some questions. Nikki came expecting to be interviewed. You're going to get interviewed.
Okay.
What do you do? Like, what is your downtime when you're not thinking about comedy, the business? Like, what do you do for fun to relieve stress?
I love hanging out with my friends. That's like the most important thing to me. That's like when I'm not working or working out or doing this or performing, I have my friends that... Literally, never underestimate the power of friendship. I'm so lucky to have. I think we all are. You know, there's certain people in our lives that we're just blessed to have as friends, and I truly feel that way. I wouldn't be able to have gotten through half of the stuff, you know, without my friends. So I'm very lucky.
Are most of your friends from like growing up?
Yeah, it's a mix of people from. I have like friends that are like, I'm one of those people that if I really like you, like I still talk to my fifth grade teacher. And my secretary in high school, who let me hide under the desk when I didn't want to go to gym. I just like, I'm very emotional and like connected to people. So
amazing. just like literally, because I'm cutting it out, but like Nikki and I just got into a fight, and then it's so funny to like have that heightened thing and then go back and
it's like, kind of sexual in a little bit.
Let me ask you a question. When you fight with romantic partners, are you a person who likes to talk it through right away, or do you need space?
I talk it through.
Do you? Do you normally date people, though, who need the space, or are they able to talk it through with you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it varies. I literally take each relationship as it comes. I try not to put expectations on things. Do you?
It's like... With men, often I'm the one who wants to talk right then and there, even if it's too heated.
Right.
And then they play the role of needing space. I'm trying to get to a point where I know when I need space. Do you know what I mean? But that's been part of my journey is like, you know, dropping it. But then with some of my girlfriends, it's been the opposite where they wanted to talk it and I needed space to get it clear. So it's kind of shifting and changing.
I mean, I could see it from both sides because like sometimes, you know, when you get upset, you know, sometimes it's one of those things, count to 10. I'm very emotional. I can count to 10, but I'm working on it. It's hard. We're passionate people. We're performers.
Well, I think the space is huge for almost everyone, but not space to the point where you're getting iced out, ignored, you know, because that can get painful.
You're talking space like see in an hour.
Maybe. But okay. I had to learn that because that was almost too scary to do because it was like, oh, God, then you're gone forever. And I think... You know, sometimes healthy space is fine. And it's just interesting because Nikki and I are both very sensitive people. I don't know if you like to share that, but.
Oh, I'm so sensitive. No, I.
So when we were fighting, we were both like about to cry.
Yeah, afterwards,
ways.
We were like, oh, no, I'm so sensitive. Yeah. Like, I'm probably going to think about it the entire way home. I'm going to write you a letter.
We're both going to
as your pen pal and send it to you just so you can read it.
Well, I think, you know.
And say, hey, Kate, I love you.
Well, I love you too, and I think honestly, this is what the world needs to learn how to do. Is like when you fight, how do you
fix it,
get through it, and not hurt the other?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously,
no,
like,
I agree.
Like, because maybe in the past we would have both walked out of here and you would have shit talked me to your friends, I would have shit talked you to my friends, just so we could both feel good about what happened. And then like you hit a point where you're like, but I love this person. I don't want that to, now I'll get emotional, but it's like, no, but I love Nikki.
I'm about
Nikki.
To take a Midol right now. I hope that's okay with you.
You guys understand, Nikki and I had like an intense fight where we both were like looking at each other like, how did this happen?
And now I'm just trying to snuggle up in her bosom. You'd never guess.
Well, I think it's like, in a sense though, that's so much better than the politeness we were talking about before of like fake agreeing with some, like you, and that's what I loved about you in this whole fight, is that you could have, because I'm a powerful person, you're a powerful person, you could have just agreed even if you didn't, and you didn't, and I love that you didn't. Seriously.
Yeah, I know.
Because
I can't do that. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't.
No, that's actually my point of the business thing. That's like, you're so fiery and you held your ground that we're both going to be fine, because
you held your ground too. I know.
But, and it's hard, but I'm proud that we both didn't cave in.
The people who are listening to this right now are like, what the fuck is going on?
No, they're used to this kind of talk.
Oh, do you fight?
Not fight. Well, that's never happened like that.
Well, I'm glad I could be your first. I want a plaque on the wall.
I don't know how much I'll keep of our fight, obviously. I have had friends on that we've gotten into fights and then talked afterwards how we got through it. But I've never had like a fight on. Well, I had my ex-boyfriend on years ago.
This is kind of impressive. You have to give it. We literally went to war really quickly.
This is very reality.
Now we're like having tea and crumpets over here. It's very different.
No, well, it's honestly, I think it's very healing in many ways, because once again,
when you help people, right, when you go like dive into relationships, like what's in terms of romantics, that's what I'm really interested in, what's like the best advice you give people in terms of like making relationships work when there are differences romantically?
Well, one that I'm thinking of, she and I could really relate, she had gotten steeped in that person was the bad guy, which once again, if we had parted ways angrily, we both would have made each other the bad guy just to survive that fight, because it's painful. And I saw her, because it was such a painful breakup with someone that she was so madly in love with, I saw her go from being madly in love to suddenly he was the bad guy.
Right.
And I related. And because I related, I was like, and my school's non-dual Kabbalistic healing. And the non-dual is like, there is no good or bad on the highest level. So I was able, which was hard at first, to kind of stop her in her tracks and be like, okay, everyone's our greatest mirror. So somehow everything you're hating about him and pointing the finger at and saying like, look at how he's fucking doing this, I'm like, somehow you can't see that form within yourself. And we had to do a lot of work, 'cause that's hard at first. And she listened, and now they're like back together. And I'm not saying it's easy, but
sometimes you just have such an attachment to somebody. You know what I mean? It's hard to separate.
Amen. And sometimes you're not supposed to separate, even if everyone's telling you you should, because it's actually pulling you in to teach you more about yourself. So that's why you can't take advice from there either.
So you're saying like separating them and realizing how bad you want that person is what makes you come back and realize to fix what's wrong in that relationship?
I'll put it this way. Personally, I thought there was something wrong with me for continuously getting pulled to this one person over and over. I was like, oh God, I'm fucked. My addiction's taking over. Here I am again. Unhealthy behavior. You know, all those judgments. And then I had this amazing healing with this woman who blew my tits right off. And she was like, we have to start trusting our pulls. We're so scared that our pulls are bad or addictive. She's like, if you're still being pulled to this person, listen to it. You're awake now. You will not repeat the same behaviors you once did. And it changed my life. Not just with the person.
Because you had clarity of the situation.
Because, yeah, I have done so much work that I knew, although it's been a ride, I wouldn't find myself right back in the same place.
Fascinating. I'm very interested. Like, I like to pretend I'm a psychologist with zero psychological. Do you have a degree in psychologist?
No.
You remind me of a sexier Dr. Phil, so that's shocking. I feel like you know just like a lot. I mean, I'm very intrigued by that. I mean, I took one psychology class, and here I am thinking I'm Dr. Ruth, but like I'm very interested in like the way relationships work, and I feel like I'm really good at giving relationship advice to people.
So what kind of relationship advice do you typically give?
Accept people for who they are.
I love that.
I really do. That's what I tell people. Accept people. You can't change people. And this is what it is. You can't change it. Make it work.
Or walk away. Would
or
you say
walk
that?
Away. But try to, you know, if you really yeah. love this person and you believe in this person, make it work and accept it. This is, you know, everybody has their flaws, you know, but does the good outweigh the bad?
How do you feel about couples counseling?
I think that, I mean, I believe in it. I mean, I've never been in that situation, but I do know people who are in couple counseling. And I think that it's, you're both agreeing to take the step to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I admire that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that you both going there shows that you're both putting your foot forward to try and fix what's wrong.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's like the intention. You're putting your energy right. into...
You're trying. Yeah. It's, you know...
Would you go to couples counseling with... At your age, which is young, would you still go?
If I felt so strongly about the person, things were that bad that I feel like I'm a ride or die. If I believe,
that's beautiful.
If I believe in you... Yeah, I'm going to make it work. There's people in my life. Once you're in my life and I'm very careful in who I let around me. If I believe in you, you're with me forever.
That's actually very, very romantic. Seriously, and I admire that because I think a lot of us, we get into heartbreak and then we're almost like, oh, I'll never put myself in that deep again. And I love that you're still like,
and
I'll
people
fucking
change.
Make it work.
I'm the same yes. bitch I was in fifth grade. You know what I mean? Like not literally, but like, you know what I mean? I just mean that as like,
well, people do and don't change in a sense. Like, yeah. I know it sounds stupid.
No, no, no.
But
it's true. I feel like, you know,
we
I'm
can grow.
All about authenticity. I think that, you know, we need more authenticity.
Yeah, I agree. What would you say? Like, I know you're very like driven. What are some of your goals? Like what are the things you want to hit throughout your life?
I mean, I don't want to put a certain, you know, I want to, you know, I have goals. I'd love to do a talk show. I want to be like really I really want to write like a self-help book, but like funny, but like in your face. Cause that's like my approach, as you know,
yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like in your face, like this is what, you know, this is what you need to do. I truly want to help people. And I think that you could be whoever you want to be. If you, you know, if you take the steps, you know, nobody ever pushed me to be a performer, be a comedian. I don't know if that's, were people supportive of you to be a comic?
No one really pushed me. Like, both parents, I think, expected me to be a teacher, which I was. So I guess it was self-motivated, too.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know how it is being a comic? You put yourself in the city in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? You're all alone. And it's like, what do you do? But that's my choice to it. And I took the steps to start. So that's like what I want to tell people. If you are unhappy, you could always turn things around. You could always make what you want to make happen. Do the work. If you want to be a chef, look at all the ingredients. Practice every day. Take out the lettuce. Or whatever chefs do. One of my best friends, she's in culinary school right now. Whatever you do, Elise, if you're listening. however you flip a pancake. You know what I mean? But do the work to be that good.
Amen to that. So one of your biggest goals is to have a talk show.
I didn't answer the question.
No,
I'm sorry.
You did.
I would like to have a talk show. I'd like to write a few books. But ultimately, I want to embody as a brand, you know, I know we talked about the brand before, but I think as who I want to rep, like when you think of like what people represent, like I admire Joan Rivers for her strength so much that woman persevered and reinvented and managed to stay relevant all those years. And she's so strong and the fiery passion she
never
gave up.
Did you like her documentary?
I loved it.
See, I loved it,
yeah.
But I could see her unhappiness still. Like, she was still comparing to Kathy Griffin, which I was like,
yeah.
That to me proved the thing of, like, you can make it, but it still doesn't fill that. Well, yeah. First of all, nothing ever fills the void.
Right,
but,
of course.
But it was, I loved it, and I'm a fan, was a fan, am a fan. But I also remember being like, whoa, she's still in that wheel.
Yeah, right.
Like, I remember looking at her calendar and being like, this is empty, is empty. And I was like, whoa, Joan Rivers. Because she's who you think of as, like, made it, and she was still comparing to other people. And I was like, I remember that really stuck with me of like, I don't ever want to be there where I've made it, but I'm still not able to feel accomplished. Not that I think she did feel accomplished to a degree, but it really, when she was like being competitive with Kathy Griffin for real, I was like, holy shit, really?
I don't know, you know, you may disagree with me on this, but I think that, you know, a couple of friends that I have that are, you know, they multimillionaires, very successful. Are they happy? Probably not.
And we always talk about success as a character flaw, because to work that hard, you have to have some inadequacy that makes you want to work that hard.
We're going to disagree there, so we'll drop it.
Okay, we'll drop it.
Nikki and I are doing so much work.
That's why I work so hard. Maybe I could put it on myself. I definitely have that inadequacy, and that's why I work so hard, because I'm never content. I probably will never be happy because I always want more.
But well, that's something that goes beyond entertainment. It's. I mean, I don't want to retell the story because I've told it a million times, but like that can go there. I'll just sum it up. My friend did Habitat for Humanity in another country, built this family house. They loved it until they saw the house next door had a deck. And they immediately were like, we don't have a deck. Meanwhile, they didn't have a home, like literally weeks before. So it shows that behavior of like, do you know what I mean? Like it's a human thing to always want more.
Want more.
And I, you know, we're all in it. But like, I guess for me watching the documentary was like, when will I feel whole?
What would you say for you would be your feeling of complete happiness? Like, when would you, do you think that you'd reach a moment, you know, is it seeing your son get married? Is it, does it have to do with you? Or does it have to do with your son?
I mean, my answer is going to be corny and annoying, but like,
no, I'm
but
sure
real.
Yeah. Okay. I want to hear it.
Cause I think about this because I battle depression and anxiety, even with the healing work and, you know, so I'm like, what am I actually looking for? Right. And I think it is connection to myself, like true authenticity, being able to be me. And it's like family, love. I want the relationship, a romantic one that I can finally make work. I want to have a good relationship to my son. I want to have people in my life I love, and I want to be expressed in my career. And I know that sounds like all over, but it's like, I want wholeness. I want to be seen. I want to be understood, whatever that actually means. And I want to allow myself to be sad sometimes without beating myself up, because I still think something's broken with me every time I hit a low. And I want to finally go to a place where I'm like, oh, I'm in a low. Like, that's okay. I'm not broken. I'm not.
You're human.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we all hit our lows. So, yeah, just a place. I'm just looking for a place where I feel like I'm me. And I don't know. It's interesting, because even in our fight, I was thinking while we were fighting, I'm like, what's going on with me? That's called, do you get what I'm saying? And like, I don't even know if that's even like, you might always fight with people your whole life. Like, does that make sense? Like, I was like, is there something going on? Cause we were both in a way being judgmental or something. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, look at this coming up. And then there's another part that's like, you and I could be friends at 80 and still being like, I want the banana pudding. You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't know what I'm looking for. Yeah. Because that, you know, I'm saying this, but maybe we already are totally whole, and you and I could just get into fights about Britney Gaga. This could be us for, you know, like, I don't know. But I am looking just, I guess, for wholeness and self-acceptance.
That's fucking beautiful. And I hope you get exactly that.
Thank you. I think we both will. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
This has been such, what a night, Nikki.
What a night, I know.
Oh, man.
Do you have another question?
Yeah, I'll do one more question, and then we're good, because we'll definitely be able to cut some, for sure.
Sorry, guys. She's looking at the clock. She's like, all right.
No, it's just also my throat, because I've had something I've been fighting for like a month.
Okay.
So my throat started hurting too, and I should have brought up water.
That's my Italian mother.
No, I need it.
Echinacea.
I need it. No, just because, so I'm sure a lot of the listeners would love to listen to our fight, but I just wanted to make sure we had enough so we can make it interesting without them having to hear us getting... Was it ugly? Do you think we got ugly?
We're just two girls on a Monday night getting a little catty.
I think the surprising element was that we were surprised.
Yeah, I know. We were
like
so
fighting
surprised.
And looking.
I was
each
so
other.
Emotional. We like sat on the couch. We were like, "Oh my god, what just happened?"
You know what though? You're such a sweetie in the sense of like, when I stopped it, we could have both. No, you could have put it down and walked out. And you sat there and you were like, we were both shook. I know that's like an annoying word now because it's trendy.
Everybody, I know.
But like, I don't mean it in the trendy way. Like, we were both shaken and emotional, and we both, and you know what? You were even more, how do I say it? Committed in the sense that I was like pretty triggered, and you like were like, I don't want to leave until this feels good. And I really have to give you credit because that was beautiful. Like, it seriously, like, you are such an amazing human. You were able to be like, I'm not leaving. Like, what the fuck just happened? But like, I love you. And we were able to get through it. And your friends are lucky. Whoever you end up with romantically,
and
they're lucky.
Can I tell you how a testament when I met Shane, that boy is so well raised and so respectful.
Thank you.
And, you know, he's very lucky to have a mom like you. Seriously, you're doing a fantastic job. Very few kids, you go over the house and they come over and that. I'm very impressed by that. You know, and I have respect for you. Seriously, even though we didn't see eye to eye, if I didn't care about you, I could have been like, F you, I'm out. But I care about you and I care about how you feel and I respect you. So that's why I was like, no, we're going to work this out. And we did.
We really respect each other, and I really have
seriously. This
loved
is
you.
I don't mean to cut you off. This is such a mean business. I know we're not gonna, but it is. And there's very few people that I think that. And from the day one, I've always looked at you, and I've always thought you were a good person. I always have seen you out, and I've seen you on a show. I was like, oh my god, Kate's on, and I've been genuinely excited to see you. And I don't feel that way about everybody. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think that there's something about you that, like, you know, that you want to help people, and that you have a healing way about you. And
same
seriously,
with you.
I think that. I think you're a good person. And I mean that.
I mean the same. No, and like when we would pass each other, like Broadway, whatever.
I was so excited.
We would always be excited to see each other. And I really, because look, guys, I'm not going to put it in, but we got into a fight and we got through it because we both
respect each other
and love each other. And like we were both hurting. And once again, Nikki kind of spearheaded it. Because I was ready to be like, just go, and then like cry in my bed for an hour or disconnect and pretend I wasn't affected or whatever my coping mechanism was going to be. And you really we both got us through it, but I think you were the leader in the sense of doing it. And
well, it's all love.
Everyone in your life is very lucky to have you in it, and you're a beautiful person. And now we know we disagree on a lot of things, but that will not change our
love
and respect.
That will not change our love and respect for each other.
No.
And you know what? Everybody has differences.
Yeah. Man, it's so funny. Like, it is just funny how shit like this especially, like, because I keep getting deeper in the healing path, and you, once again, you think it's going to be this fucking floating on a cloud, and then you get into fights, and you're like, what the fuck? You know, but
I had a plan. I was going to turn my career around.
Well, I think it just shows the fact that I keep hitting confrontations on the healing journey shows that, like,
I've never done a podcast like this.
No.
That was like, so, you know,
but I think we have to learn
how
to get through these.
I think it's interesting, and I think it's important. And I think that, you know, I think you offer a lot to your listeners.
Well, I think you offer a lot to not just listeners, but your followers on all of your social media. And I think once again, I think you and I both are learning how to get through, hopefully eventually romantically, how to get through these things and hold your ground. Because I have to say, you are a force of nature, and it might not be easy for each person to meet you where you're at because you have so much passion and love to give, and that might scare away some. No, but
yes.
In a way where
no,
it's
you
like
hit it right on the head.
Because you have so much to give, and someone who can't stay in the fire with you. Because look, I do healing work, and it was hard to stay in that fire with both of us. And we did it, and look where we got. But not everyone can do it, and you can. And whoever, it's going to be exciting to see who's able to stay in that fire with you, because they're going to be a very lucky person.
I'll be alone.
No, you are going to have the love of your life, a career that you couldn't even, beyond your wildest dreams, and you're going to deserve all of it. So you're a good, good soul, and you have a lot to give this world, and I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see where you go.
Likewise.
Yeah, I love you.
I love
I'm glad you,
too. You
stayed and got us through this.
Yes, of course.
So funny.
We've known each other for how long? Come on.
Yeah, but this was a first. I do think we're going to be hanging out more, but this, and it'll be red carpets and all that shit, but what a funny first deep hang, man. Did not see that coming.
Right, and we ended on a good note, and now my goal is to take you to Applebee's for a veggie burger.
I would love to go
just
to Applebee's with you.
Just think about
it.
They have a quesadilla burger. It's so good.
I'm there.
And there's no meat in it.
Where do you live, by the way?
Staten Island.
Do you still live there? That's what I wanted to ask. That's amazing that you also, because I like that, because in a way it gives you some distance.
I drive
distance.
All over. My car is 90,000 miles on it.
That's amazing.
My little Chevy Cruze, it's going to
blow
here. Up.
All right. Well, Nikki, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Nikki Paris Bitch.
I love it.
Yeah.
It just made me remember Brittany again and love her so much.
Brittany, bitch.
I love that. Guys, when is this coming out? I don't even know when this is coming out, because we're going to do a little bit of editing to it. But website, thekatewolf.com. And
follow her.
Yes. And thank you guys so much for listening. Woo! Bye. guys, this is Kate from Invasion of Privacy, and this Sunday is my hour-long album recording at New York Comedy Club. Please come. There's a 7 o'clock show and a 9:15. Promo code WOLF. You can get tickets on New York Comedy Club's website, www.newyorkcomedyclub.com. It would really, really mean the world to me to have you all there. I need it packed out. I need to have both shows be electric, and it would mean a lot if all of my supporters and people who've been supporting me and loving me from the start, or my new supporters, if you guys could be there. So it's this Sunday. There's a 7 o'clock and a 9:15. On the 7, I have Nico White hosting and Robin Shaw will be featuring. And then on the 9:15, I have Amina Imani and Mike Cannon. So please, please come out to one of them. Once again, it would mean a lot to me, and I would really, really like to have them pretty full and have you guys all there. And then I can hopefully give you all quick hugs after, especially after the 9:15, because after that, I'll be able to actually hug and talk a little bit more than on the 7. So anyway, please come 7 and the 9:15, newyorkcomedyclub.com.